I'd like to direct your attention, if you could, with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, if you have your Bible there. Hebrews chapter 12. If you need a handout, just raise your hand. We got extras here. Thank you so much. Hebrews chapter 12. Well, I tell you, that program right there, was that not just a blessing? Praise the Lord. To see what God is doing in the hearts of the young people. And you know, these are truths that are going to really give them the trajectory of their life as they submit to it, as they grow to understand it and obey it. God is just going to use this in their lives, and I'm thankful to know that we can trust the Lord to work in their hearts. So thank you again, parents. I want to thank you personally for your hard work. We have a couple of Master Club kids in our home, and so we know how it is when they can't find their book and they can't find this or that, and boy, they, you know, didn't get their study done and they're feeling bad about it. And you just talk them through that and all those things that go along with it. But it's really what we're going after. And you all know this. It's not about a book. It's not about a badge. All those things are wonderful and we want to encourage them. But it's all about their heart. We want their heart to be after Christ and following Christ. And that is our desire and our prayer. So we'll just continue to encourage that, and I appreciate your faithfulness. Notice with me, tonight is really probably our last lesson as we have been working through the book, The Clay Pot Conspiracy by Dave Harvey. It's been a very, very much a blessing and encouragement to my heart, and I've tried to convey some of those truths and nuggets that I have learned as I have read through that, based off the scriptures. And tonight we look at wonder number 7. We've looked at 6 wonders, and tonight we'll look at the 7th and final wonder of being a clay pot conspiracy, because the whole premise of the book, it seems like a paradox, right? Here we are, supposed to be showing forth the power of God in our lives, but we're clay pots. We're earthen vessels, which are very weak, okay? And we have cracks in our pots, and that's why I said we can technically be called crackpots, all right? If you want to be serious about this, we have our cracks, okay, and our weaknesses and failures and fallacies, but guess what shines through those cracks in the vessel? Guess what shines through? The Lord Jesus Christ. That is the fact that He is the treasure inside the earthen vessel. And what a blessing it has been to understand. And just some things that I'm just going to throw out here. I didn't even have these written down. But just some things we learn as Christians that it's okay to struggle. It's part of the Christian life. It's important to understand that suffering is a part of the Christian life. It's a part of relating with Christ in the gospel ministry every day, experiencing those times of death where it's a loss of some sort. It may be a loss of a relationship. It could be a loss of health. It could be just any type of loss, but we experience that. But it doesn't stop there. We then see that perhaps buried as Christ was buried, and then we see God bring forth that resurrection power. And that's where the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. And so tonight, notice chapter 12 in Hebrews, verse 28. It's there in your notes as well. But listen to this. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, I think that's a great phrase right there. Wherefore receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That's the kingdom of God. God's plan in our lives will not be thwarted. It will not be changed. God's working. And so therefore, notice what it says. Let us have what, church? Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And we see here that it speaks of the holiness of God and the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, all speaks of this. And therefore, I love that phrase there that says, let us have grace. And wonder number 7 is how we are learning to run our race together. We are learning to run together in order to finish well. How many of you here have actually read the book Pilgrim's Progress? Several of you. We're reading it Sunday nights. We're coming to an end of the children's Pilgrim's Progress. But it's a story of a man named Christian who was on his journey. It was written as an allegory from John Bunyan in the 1600s. And it's interesting to note that book was the most circulated book second to the Bible through many of those years. A couple centuries. Second to the Bible was Pilgrim's Progress. And Christian was on this journey, which was really, in many ways, John Bunyan helping express the things that he was experiencing as a believer. You know, his wife died within 10 years of their marriage. They had 4 children together in those 4 years. Their first daughter was born blind. And there was a lot of struggles in there. He was very poor. He could barely provide for his family. In fact, he did remarry, but even after that, God had called him to preach. And then when he was called to preach, they started persecuting him because he wouldn't fall in line with the Anglican church. He was preaching the gospel. He was preaching people's need to be saved, not baptized, get saved and then baptized would follow. And they locked him up. They locked him up, and for many years he suffered there alone. He suffered, but as he was there, he wrote one of the most precious pieces of literature known and really the world, one of the most popular and circulated and most translated next to the Bible pieces of literature called Pilgrim's Progress. And what a challenge it is to us. And one of the things that he points out in that book, all these different characters that he meets, some good, some bad. But one of the ones that follows him through the end of the book is a man called Hopeful. Hopeful was an encourager. He was that one that walked alongside Christian when things got down and, boy, things got rough and Christian didn't think he could go any further, and Hopeful would be there. In fact, I put one of the quotes there that when Christian was at the end of his journey and he was really ready to give up, he didn't think he could cross the river. He thought it was too deep and it was raging too much. And this quote right here just wraps it up on what Hopeful was to Christian. Notice what he said. Then Hopeful replied, "Take courage, my brother. I feel the bottom and it's firm." Amen. That's what a hopeful does. And when we, as clay pots, God has designed and created us to need each other. And so, therefore, we want to find the hopefuls in our life that God can use to breathe encouragement into us and to speak encouragement into us. And we want to be hopefuls to others. You see, Christian was not finishing his journey as a superstar in that allegory. You know how he finished? He finished really in many ways broken. And sometimes we get this erroneous idea that we are going to cross the finish line as celebrities and superstars. But really, if we're really following Christ, we're gonna come to the end and we're gonna be yes, filled with the joy of the Lord. But I want to tell you, we're gonna be finishing as experienced and even wounded soldiers. But thank God when we cross into the place of eternity called heaven, all the pain will disappear. All the battles will be gone. I was talking to one of my kids today about, hey, when we get to heaven, you know, we won't have to worry about dentists. And they said, amen. Doctors, we'll have to worry about those in heaven. And we won't have to worry about our bodies breaking down and going through hardships. But listen, as we travel forth, we are embattled soldiers. We are warriors made of clay who are guided by grace all along the way. It's the grace of God leading us. And God gets all the glory because we certainly can't glory in clay pots. We can agree to that tonight, can we not? We can't glory in clay pots, but thank God tonight we can glory in the treasure that's within. The Lord Himself shining through us. You see, hopeful in that allegory symbolizes the wonder of a genuine friend who personifies really grace and courage when we need it most. And, you know, finding a hopeful, notice this quote here from the book. Finding hopeful is not first about looking, but about becoming. Become the friend. Notice this right here. You should underline it, highlight. This is such a fundamental truth right here that I want to teach my children and I want to practice. But notice what it says. Become the friend you would most desire to accompany you. Isn't that powerful? Be the kind of friend you want to help and encourage you through life's journey. Reach out, bless, encourage, build up, because that's indeed what God is calling us to do. Notice our verse that we started off with and we'll finish with this evening. It is 2 Corinthians 4:7. We read this together. Let's do that. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's the truth that we've been learning and will learn until we get to glory. Let God continue to develop us. We're not to there are definitely things that we have to keep in mind as we walk this life that God has given us to be the blessing to one another. But in closing, I want to show you three verses. All right, you got Philippians 1:6, you got Philippians 2:13, and 1 Thessalonians 5:24. I just want to would you take about 60 seconds and just read all three of those verses? And then I want to ask you to maybe give me some feedback. What is a common thread that you see in each of those verses? So Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. As anybody, there's not one perfect answer here. There's several, in fact, well, multiple common threads. So, but let's get some feedback. What's a common thread that you note, Kathy?
God that does the work.
All right, what else? Good. Anything else? Common thread that you see in those three verses? Anybody else? He's going to do it till the end. Good. What else? He's faithful. Good. Any other common thread that you can see? Hey, man, it's a good work for his good pleasure because he's a good God. Very good. Anything else stand out to you? These are all good and they're all correct. Yes, God is working through us. And who are we?
We're His children that are saved, that have been born again. You've been saved by putting your faith in Christ, not because you're a member of a church. That doesn't save anybody, but your faith in the gospel, you're a child of God, and you become a vessel. And that vessel is what He's using to do His work. We are earthen vessels. And I would say, as I look at this, all what you said is correct. But I love the fact that it's clear that it's God who's working through the vessel. And that's why, going back to there in 2 Corinthians, is that the power may be of God and not of us. I am to present myself each day as a vessel set apart, as we're learning through Thessalonians. My body is a vessel, and that is to be set apart for the glory of God. And so therefore he's working. He's going to perform it to the end, and He will do it. God is a God of His Word. And I want to say tonight, not that I'm trying to minimize the sin of doubt and unbelief or the sin of backsliding. I'm not minimizing those at all. So please don't take this statement the wrong way. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is bigger than our doubt. God is bigger than our unbelief. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I'm simply saying tonight, as these earthen vessels, we are learning. And listen, even when we fail, God is going to accomplish His will. And it will be, your failures will be a part of even that being accomplished, because we will learn from our error. We will learn from our sin. We'll learn from those things, and it'll actually work out for good. It's so beautiful, God's plan for our lives. And so be encouraged tonight, dear friend. The Lord is working in your life. You're an earthen vessel. You're imperfect. You have flaws. I have flaws. We're learning to grow in grace. But listen, let's remember, we are running this race together. And I can't help but think the time, the writer of Hebrews, many think it was Paul. I don't see any reason really why it couldn't be Paul, but I'm not super dogmatic with that. But he uses that phrase, "let us," he uses it 12 times. 12 times. And that idea of "let us," he's including his brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's run the race. Let us run the race. Let us be faithful. And may God get the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you.